Are you watching The House of Dragons? You're caught up?
Yeah. I'm caught up.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, bro, I've read the book, bro. It's about to be a season of just war crimes. And whatever side you're on, you kind of got to turn your head because they're about to do the fairiest shit.
Bro, on some real shit, I'm going to keep a G with you. I was green. Allison?
Yeah.
That's her name? Allison. I was like, okay, cool. She like this innocent little like, cool. She seems to be good. Yo, she on some shady stuff. On some real stuff. She about to be like, she's going to be this series Daenerys. She's going to flip script and fuck everybody up and nobody's going to like her.
Well, the thing is they already don't like her, bro, from season one. Like, what you, like, just stop being a snitch, bro. And then Christian Cole, bro, that fool's a sucker.
What do you mean?
Like, bro, he's a broke dude. He's a knight. In season one, he comes up and, like, yeah, he hooks up with the queen. And then to go to, a queen and be like, yeah, run away with me and sell potatoes for the rest of our life. Nigga, what? No one's doing that.
No lady's doing that, man.
And then to just be in your feelings about it. Like, the lack of social awareness was crazy to me. And he just spent his whole life, like, at this point, it's like 20 years later, and he's like, oh, she, Rhaenyra's, it's like a, like we've spun like a web of like a web of lies, bro.
Yeah. It's, you know, I would say that, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched House of Dragons,
if you haven't watched it by the time this comes out, that's your fault, brother.
Yeah, we're like, this is gonna be like 3 weeks and we're not even really giving anything away. This is all from season one that we're really talking about. So yeah, if you haven't seen season one, that's on you. Off with your head.
That's what I'm saying. And then just to turn around and do the same thing again, bro. You seen the first episode?
I did.
He's over there munching box. Just doing the same thing he did before.
My honor, just like.
To do the same thing.
Like, bro, get the fuck up out of here.
Munching medieval box is crazy, bro.
Oh, bro.
The lack of hygiene, brother.
Bro, I don't need. Bro,
swamp crotch.
Do you think? Well, look, you like, okay, at least in that episode, you know she takes a bath. You saw her take a bath, so like, at least you know, like, as she's getting cleaned up.
It's medieval times, though. You think royal, like, even royalty's not showering every day?
You think so?
In medieval times, like back then.
Well, you know what? No. There's dudes that don't shower every day now. We're gonna come up in the
don't
gym.
Join you. What gym? What gym do you go to?
No, I'm just saying. I guarantee you, there are dudes that like don't at like haven't showered and come to the gym.
Them
right?
Pimple buster ass dudes.
nasty pimple mother chuckers.
Dude, honestly, ever since Lizzie told me that, I just be looking at people sideways. Like, are you one of them?
Yeah.
Are you a pimple popper ass dude?
Nah. You know, like, even like, you know, if you have like a cut on your hand, like if I have, like, my band-aid comes off, it's like right away I'll go like, hey, stop the roll. Hey, I got to go wrap this up. Like, I can't be rolling with you with an open cut trying to bleed all over you, bro. And the same thing, like, I wouldn't expect you to do that to me.
If it's like super small, I honestly wouldn't care either way. Like, if it's like not bleed, like if it's like a nut cut that's not bleeding and it's like a small cut, I won't care. But if it's actively bleeding or you're gonna get some kind of mucus or something on me, bro, we'll fight. Like, Lizzie was nice about it, I guess. She, like, the dude popped a pimple on her, you pop a pimple on me, brother, we're boxing
hands down, straight up boxing.
Yeah, you signed that waiver, and at the bottom of that waiver it says if you pop a pimple on somebody, you're getting faded out.
Real quick, I'm gonna do one thing. It might annoy you.
I thought you were going to go turn off the AC.
No, I want to. Like, I really would love to turn off the AC, but it's too dang hot,
don't do
bro.
It, brother.
Summer's out. You know, you can tell. You can always tell. At least in a, well, you tell any city when summer is popping, but you can always tell. Like Hollywood, it's just like the skin comes out. I don't care if you're a dude. I don't care if you're a girl. It'll be like 6:37 in the morning. You know, right when the sun comes up, you just see people half naked on the streets.
It's funny because I have these, I got these hoochie daddy shorts, bro. That's what my girl calls them. They're hella short. And I've been wearing them around the house, and she's like, don't wear them outside. Like, it's fucking hot.
So I take it you like the Hoochie Daddy shorts?
Like, if I'm kicking it, I'm not going to, like, try and style that shit. Mm. Or, like, if you're going to the beach, it's hot. It's hot. And then I tell her all the time, like, there's girls out here wearing lace around their waist and calling it a skirt. Like,
so what you're saying is they're going to learn today.
Yeah, bro, it's hot. If my ball falls out, it falls out.
Yo, so I have these Hoochie Daddy shorts, and this is probably way too much information, but like low key, sure. I don't wear underwear like ever unless like I know I have like guests coming over, or like I wear spandex like for jujitsu and stuff, right? But yeah. Like outside of that, like unless I'm going to the gym, like working out, I just don't wear underwear. It's just uncomfortable. No. It's hot. Whatever, right? So I got these Hoochie Daddy shorts, bro.
Don't even be mad. If I'm in my house and I'm in my house, I'm not wearing drawers. For what? Get out of here. In my place.
So it's just funny because I had the window wide open, right?
That's where you fucked.
And you know I got the mats, right? So I got the mats, and so I'm coming to sit down, and I do this like little like sit down with one leg and kick my other leg behind me to sit on my butt. And as I do that, I just see everything just flop out. I'm like, oh no, let's put that away before someone walked by. And like the cleaning lady was walking by like around that time too, so it was like real.
She sus. Walking by the window, trying to catch a side eye, or
hey, she gonna learn today.
Shit, I'm not even gonna hold you, bro. We're on the third floor, so it don't really matter for us. But yeah, fuck, I'm right there with you, bro. I'm as comfortable as possible in my own house.
100%. Speaking of comfortable, let's go ahead and get comfortably tapped into this episode, man.
Let's get it.
What's happening, my jujitsu? We this episode 37. You know,
yeah, we're closing in on a year.
It's getting there quick, bro. I wanted to get to 100 episodes before the year.
100 episodes?
Unless we add... I see your eyes. You're like,
bro, how are we doing that, bro? And so episode 52 will be a year.
So that's what I'm saying. So what we'd have to do is we'd have to add like a Wednesday or Friday episode. Or Wednesday and Friday. It's a lot of work.
And then, I got surgery coming up.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So let's tap into this, man. It's time to get high on positivity and drink down some gratitude, bro. What you feeling? Why you hate that so much? Why you hate that? I always feel you just like don't like it. We could never talk about it because...
What, the high on positivity?
Yeah, drink down some gratitude.
Because that part sounds weird to me. But the high on positivity, my mind just goes somewhere else and I'm like, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes.
You know, but this week, positive note, I'm going back to work, you know. The doctor pretty much said, you know, I'm gonna need that surgery. So he cleared me to pretty much do whatever the fuck I want until it's time for me to have surgery.
Okay.
I'm a little afraid to do jiu-jitsu because my finger doesn't bend around shit. So it just, I don't want to fuck around and break it and then have to deal with more, you know. Like, yeah. If I get a weird grip and they, like, we get in a scramble and my finger's, like, just sticking out, it'll break, you know. Yeah. So... Other than that, I've just been doing Muay Thai, staying active.
Okay.
You know, those are my positive notes. I get to be active again and enjoy myself for about 8 more weeks, and then it's surgery time.
Okay, what about this gratitude? Let's chug it down, bro. Bottoms up. Yeah, bottoms up.
You keep that over there, bro. And as for gratitude, you know... I'm grateful for my family and my lady, you know, helping me out. They're the one, like, in my life, they're the ones who are going to be helping me recover and take care of me. And then even up to this point have helped me recover.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And they're the ones who've listened to me complain about this for 2 months now. And probably another, 5 months? This looks like it's going to be the bulk of my year.
Yeah.
So
looking at 2025 comeback season?
Yeah, they said it's gonna be like a 3 month recovery.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say everything they're gonna do on here just because, yeah, that part annoys me. But
yeah. You were telling me about it. I'm gonna get high on some positivity real quick. I don't want
to. I'm good. Go ahead.
You were talking about it, and I am really positive for you, and that there's hope for that, and that you're, you know. I think that you're going to find a new level of jiu-jitsu. Because anytime I've, like, had to work past, and, you know, I'm always injured. I've always had to work past something. So I'm positive that you're going to have a really good experience with this. I'm happy for you, man. Like, yeah. That there's hope. And you know what I'm talking about.
It's I get what you mean. I've already kind of felt it, like, just that fire and want to compete in, like not necessarily, like, compete in tournaments, just be out there, though.
Yeah.
It's there. I've been doing Muay Thai, like, looking at the other mat. I'm like, I want to choke him.
Bro, I was throwing kicks in the gym this morning, and I was like, oh, shoot, I'm back. Like, I'm low-key back with my kicks. Like,
okay.
Because I've been kind of – I've been sleeping on them because I've been letting my body and my hips and stuff and my rest.
Have you – shout-out to Misfits. Have you done a class with Coban yet?
I have not. Yeah, shout-out Misfits. And, no, I have not. I've only met the legendary nice gentleman, but I have not done a class with him yet.
He doesn't believe in breaks, bro. And then on top of that – like, the class says an hour, he does not care. He does not care. He's going an hour and 20 every time. And I'm fine with it, but he does not believe in breaks. Like, if you go get water, he'll look at you crazy, like, what are you
doing? Okay, so he's old school.
Yeah, he's like, you do that before and after. They say Jimmy's the one not, like, turning the AC on. Mm-hmm. I believe 100% is Coban's influence. Like, why are y'all training and the AC's on? Y'all comfortable in here?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I oh, you know what? I don't want to say that because Jimmy might kill me for saying that.
Well, say what?
No, so we had a promotion ceremony last weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And was it last weekend or was it the weekend before? Man, dude, I'm so...
That was 2 weeks ago.
Real quick, before I get into the story, I want to get into gratitude. Yeah, because I feel us...
You know how we do.
All right, so I want to get so I'm positive for you, bro. So yeah, and then I just want to say, you know, I'm grateful for the people I surround myself with. You, Casey, T, you know, my teammates at Forge, Misfits, my homie Ernesto. Like, he this weekend he did a camping thing. He set up a camping thing, put up his own money, invited a bunch of guys out, brought jiu-jitsu mats and everything. It was a really nice vibe. I was only able to go out for one day because I'm just, man, bro, editing, filming, hot up. Weekends, I can't, there's too much. I think it was a really good vibe, and I got to, you know, see some old teammates back from my old school. Shout out Leon Jiu-Jitsu. If you're down in Los Alamitos, go check them out. They got some killers down there, some rollers. Shout out to my newly promoted people, too. Travis, he just got promoted to Blue Belt. He's down in LA. These are all
okay.
Hey, you actually like Mike, like rolling with him. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. He's like Pete size, but like.
By the way, on my list.
Yeah, Pete, if you didn't know, bro.
On my list.
You on the list, bro. On his list. Not mine. I don't care.
Like, I'm going to try not to get out of shape for this surgery, but people have made my list, whether it be through jokes they made about my hand or, you know. And, you know, I'll laugh with you, but you're on the list. you know how it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm grateful that I'm not on your list. Let me put that
You don't
out
know.
There.
You so on the list.
Ernesto, shout out to you, bro. I'm grateful for you, man. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for the opportunities you have provided me. And, you know, I hope that in the future we can definitely, you know, help elevate the things that we've talked about behind closed doors. Because you know what that is. And so shout out Tri-City. They're down in Artesia. That's where Ernesto operates out of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Artesia. Pull up there if you're down in the Artesia area. All right, so moving on. I was telling a story. Do you remember the story I was telling?
You're telling a story about Jimmy at the promotion ceremony and why his gym's so fucking hot.
Okay, also, I need you to keep an eye on this camera because we're only running two cameras. So if that red light goes off, you can't say shit ever. Like I won't have it recorded.
Oh, okay.
Because my third camera's down.
Okay. Ooh.
So,
you want to use my phone?
Huh?
You want to use my phone?
No, we good. Okay, we good. I'm just going to run two cameras. I'm tired. Like, it makes it way easier.
He said, I'm tired.
Oh, we ain't doing all that. So, we're at the promotion ceremony. I'm like, man, it's before people start getting there. I was like, man, it's kind of hot in there. It's kind of hot in here. And everybody in Muay Thai is going to, I was like, man, it's going to be a lot of people in here for the promotion ceremony. It's going to be really hot in here. And I was like, bruh, I'm not looking forward to this. Luckily, somebody, I don't know who, thank you to whoever it was, turned down the AC, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Okay. But it was definitely beacon when it first started.
It was probably Jess.
She probably did. She knows what's up. Jess.
Since we're on Misfits, bro, shout out to Jess for real, bro. Because people don't like realize Jess do a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yes.
Jess takes music recommendations. Jess adjusts the AC. Jess trains on her own time, if I'm not mistaken, yep. You know.
And she's injured.
And not, well, I don't know if she trains or not. I knew she had some back issues.
Yeah.
But, and then on top of that, she runs their website. She made their website and she does all the photography. Shout out Jess, bro.
And social media, she's all on it. Shout out Jess. You are a legend.
Yeah.
As someone who does a lot of that, it's not easy work.
Yeah, she's probably the one who changed the AC, too.
Thank you, Jess.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We got one that I wanted to go over, bro, and I'm going to skip straight to it.
Okay.
Meat and potatoes. Because that Craig Jones Invitational, let's just keep it real. ADCC is bleeding. I'm not going to say they're done, but they are fucking bleeding. Bro.
There's so much. I didn't want to talk too much about it just because we've talked a little bit about it, and I want to overload the audience with it because I know it's everywhere.
By the time this airs, we're going to be late as fuck. But my man Raph called every fucking body on that list
at that level.
Yesterday, yeah. So just a little timestamp for where we are recording this.
I'll give you the exact date. It's Sunday, June 23rd. Unfortunately, this is not going to air tomorrow on the 24th. This will air 7 days from then. So whatever that date is.
Let me see. And then look. And then not only that, Craig Jones pulled in more hitters. Last time it was the Rutolo brothers. ADCC is bleeding, bro. Because now it's Pat Downey.
That's what I'm gonna say. He's a wrestler, right?
He is a wrestler, but he's a bad dude. And then on top of that, he is known to give Nicky Rod an issue.
No, dude. So what is really dope, and I didn't even think about this from this aspect, is like bringing someone like Pat Downey into this. What if you brought in Jordan Burroughs, who's another killer-ass wrestler who has been dabbling in jiu-jitsu?
Jordan Burroughs won't right now. The Olympics this year. That's something that no one's ever going to turn down, bro.
He's already done that, though. He's already done it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's always going to hold, like an Olympic gold medal is going to hold prestige over any jiu-jitsu company.
Jordan Burrow, if you ever happen to watch this, I would argue to say that the $1 million prize, which I know you have a very good solid chance of winning, you should go after. That's all I'm saying. Moving on.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying the prestige of being an Olympic champion.
I'm pretty sure he's already won. That's how I found out about him.
Yeah, he may have, bro. But the thing is, it's like I'd want to win again. You know, there's multiple, like being a multiple time Olympian. That's a level of greatness. Like ADCC is like, oh, it's the prestige. Olympics, it's the prestige, bro.
No, you're right. You know, you're 100% right. It is.
And then on top of that, a lot of people were saying like, oh, ADCC isn't like it doesn't come with the opportunities you think it would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Olympics comes with the opportunities you think it was.
It does, but not 100%. Like, I've been listening to a lot of people break down. For example, I just listened to the Joe Rogan podcast with the dudes from the Enhanced Games. They were breaking down how athletes don't get paid. They do get sponsorship dollars. They do get opportunities, but they still don't get that much at the end of the day.
They don't get that much if you don't market it right. The thing is Jordan Burroughs is a very polarizing person. Like, yeah. You see him, and it's just a magnanimous energy.
You're right.
And then on top of that, he has an opportunity to be on the names of on the list of names with people like Simone Biles, my man Michael fucking Phelps, dude. Yeah. Like, and the thing is, I doubt they ever worked again. Simone Biles, the way she dominated the Olympics the first time, I doubt she ever worked again. Like, granted, like gym being a gymnast is her work.
Yeah.
But like a 9-to-5, fuck no.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps working a 9-to-5? Fuck no.
Yeah, he had sponsorship deals for days. We're still speaking about him. Is he not even competing now? He's been retired for how long?
Exactly. At least, and then and if we're being real, there's a lot of athletes that still have to work. But let's be honest. In the sports that America doesn't care about, you can compete in the Olympics, but you still got to work. Wrestling is one of those sports every country in the world cares about.
That's true, but like, how many wrestlers are really out there that have won the Olympics that we really know their name? It's
Kurt Angle.
It comes down, okay, you got Kurt Okay, I don't want to get into a debate of like listening wrestlers. You may actually know some, but I'm saying everyday average person. When we talk about wrestlers,
yeah,
it comes. It's kind of like, you know, when you talk about heavyweight boxing champions, how many people really know? How many, like, you don't really know unless they are those standout elite, like Jordan Burroughs, like you said.
I think it comes down to where, what area you're from. Because okay. if you're from the Midwest or Pennsylvania or like those heavy wrestling states, they're going to know those names. Everyone's going to know those names. But at the same time, we're in California. This is a basketball and football dominated place. Jiu-jitsu is still considered very niche. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say Bo Nickel. Bo Nickel to CJI. I'm just throwing out people now at this point because they just... But like you were saying, I think, you know, Craig Jones did his thing and kind of just put the nail in the coffin, like by just making it a real event.
Like I said, because IBJJF still goes on, ADCC still going to go on.
Yeah.
But the money, what they don't understand is jiu-jitsu is trying to like pave a way for itself and the money's going to talk. The number one place is going to be where the athletes go. And, you know.
So we talk about money. This is the question I have not asked you. And I have been wanting to ask you this question for like 3-4 weeks now. I just like, it's just been so crazy. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Get the fuck out of California, dog.
Nah.
So I didn't have to pay the taxes on that. And then it'll go longer, you know. So I'd probably move to the Midwest or even Texas and just buy me a nice little house and chill on the rest.
But the thing is, you would have to have claimed residency for at least 6 months to a year prior to of winning in order to not have paid taxes.
I get you.
But we're talking CJIs in August. There legally is not enough time to make this happen.
So my family has property in another state that I am technically one of the owners of. I'm on top of that. So I'm moving the fuck out of California.
Respect. Hats off to you then, sir.
Yeah. That or probably travel for a bit.
Travel, okay. To where?
I don't know. Just a bunch of places to train, bro. Probably go train in Japan for a bit. Probably go train with Craig Jones in Australia.
I thought he was in Austin.
Huh?
I thought he was in Austin.
Is he in Austin? I know he trained. I know he's from Australia.
Yeah, so B-Team's posted up in Austin, so I imagine that he's probably there most of the time with Nicky Rod and the whole squad.
Damn, this was have a cross-town rivalry. I thought they broke up and then Gordon Ryan and then moved to Austin.
Yeah, so they all went down to Puerto Rico. They split up. Gordon and them said they were going to Austin. I think kind of like they followed and was like, you know, hey, we're going to set up shop.
You know what's crazy? I was watching one of the Joe Rogan podcasts recently, and people who aren't in jiu-jitsu know who Gordon Ryan is. So that is a good sign.
Yeah.
What's that goofy comedian with the pedo stash? I'm not saying he's a pedo. He just has the stash. Mm-hmm. White boy. Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz was talking about Gordon Ryan. Yeah.
Well, Andrew Schultz has tapped in with Joe, and I feel like Andrew Schultz is kind of like a casual fight fan at this point. He's up there with Brian Callen and, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I know a lot of like fight fans that don't know who any jiu-jitsu competitors are.
But I'm saying he's even said, I've heard him on different podcasts and stuff even say that he's like rolled with and trained with these people. So what I mean. Like he's, I don't think like he's in the sense of like, oh, I'm really going in. But he's like, hey, you know, they were there. It's like, oh, they showed me a move and they showed me what was up and I rolled with them a little bit. They were nice to me type deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm tired of all these fighters beating up social media influencers.
What do you mean?
Sean O'Malley beat up Aiden Ross and that other dude recently.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Sean O'Malley was definitely being nice to him. Like, I don't think he was out there being malicious.
Yeah.
But he definitely sparred them 2-on-1 and just showed he's fucking that they didn't stand a chance.
He went 2-on-1?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I gotta look this up now.
Yeah, bro. Sean was just playing with him and they were afraid to close the distance and he was slap boxing them.
Yeah.
In and out. One dude tried to throw a real combo, and he got to see real quick the difference between his BS combo and a UFC champion's just speed, IQ, and just pure agility.
Yeah.
And I don't even like O'Malley like that, but...
You know what? We've been all over the place. We've not stayed in linear old fashion at all. So since we're talking about O'Malley, UFC 303, bro. We ain't talked martial arts in a long time. Just like full on martial arts. And I'm curious where you're sitting with it. I'll say before I have you answer. After was it 302 with Dustin and Islam. And what other fight was before? There was another, like, there was some really good fights at 302. I feel like 302 got me hype again. Like, I was like, yes, I'm excited for martial arts. I'm excited for UFC. And because I had kind of tapped out, like, this whole year. And now 303, I was excited because it was like Chandler. You know, I know you, I see your face. You're just all, your boy McGregor. Out with a broken fucking toe. What type of bum ass shit is that? I'm joking. And I say this as someone who just competed with a broken toe.
I'm jumping in right there. Bro, I've been a McGregor fan for so long, and at this point, I'm done. There's no... Pereira is legit jumping in with two broken toes. Pereira has two broken toes. Worse toes than... Bro, let's just keep it a bean. McGregor's a cokehead. McGregor's like, he just likes doing coke. He still likes to train, but he's like me. He's a casual trainer. He's never going to be championship caliber again. Yeah. Because it's like, when you make that much money, where's the hunger coming from?
Yeah.
You know, and like these last few UFCs made me feel like I picked the wrong side. Maybe I should have been a Poirier fan. You know, your wife's in his DMs, but maybe I should have been a Poirier fan. You know, because like, dude, a broken pinky toe. And then like at this point, it's not even like yo-yoing with the fans. Like, I'm going to return. I'm not going to return. I'm going to return. I'm not going to return. This has been a 2-year thing. Now you're messing with Chandler's bread.
Yeah.
Even though Chandler is the idiot who's like, oh, wait. You probably shouldn't have, bro.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't have, because now that fight's probably never going to happen. McGregor's probably not coming back. Like, and if it is, it's going to be another fucking year.
You don't think he's saying a few months? So, look, I don't think they're saying 3 weeks. I don't think there's any way he's ready in 3 weeks. Just because I just had a broken toe, back in February, right before the tournament when I got back from Africa. I had a broken toe the week before my comp. I competed in my comp. It wrapped up. It just started feeling good maybe the week before this last comp, which is what was it? February, March, April, May, 4 months. He's saying 3 weeks. That toe, his toe looked way worse than my toe. Like, my toe just was like snapped off to the side. It was snapped off side. It wasn't like all bloody or whatever, you know, bruised up the way his looked.
It might be a skin pigment difference too, because you also have to realize Buddy's pasty. At this point, bro, I'm just over it. There's new fighters. He's never making it to the top. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. Because even now, bro, who's fighting at 170? Who's the 170 champ?
That's Makhachev.
No. That's
the
British dude. Headshot.
Oh, dead. Yeah. Edwards.
Leon. It's a boring ass fight, bro. It's a boring ass fight.
Yeah.
That's a boring ass fight, it sounds like.
For Bilal Muhammad? That's who's next
on
the list,
right? Oh, my God. He's the worst. Bro, if Bilal Muhammad's champion, I won't watch that division ever.
Nah.
Like, I like Leon, but I think I only like Leon just because he's a well-rounded fighter, but he's also very Ross and Patriots-like, just fucking boring.
I don't know if boring's the right... I guess he's boring in the sense of, yes, he's very like that, but dang, I hate that you said that, because when I think about him, I think like, oh, man, I feel like me and him are a lot alike as fighters, right? Just the way... He won his championship against Kamaru Usman, and the way everyone counted him out, I was sitting there. I was like, he's not out. I was like, he just waited for his time. He knows he has one shot, and he knows if he dumps all his energy right now, he will lose. So he's just waiting the storm, and he's going to strike when he's ready. Go ahead.
When I say boring, I don't mean like... I don't mean like he's not a good fighter, because he is, bro. The same way Ross is good as shit at jiu-jitsu. I personally just do not, like, fuck with the style myself. And, like, that doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean it's bad. The Patriots are boring. We're boring as fuck to watch. They still pulled in.
How many championships?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I study martial arts. I understand the feints. I understand what he's trying to do stand-up-wise. But at the end of the day, we watch this sport as spectators. That man has, like, 3 knockouts since 2014. He has, well, I wouldn't even say knockouts. I say he has 4 finished fights since 2014. Other than that, we know when we watch Leon Edwards, it's about to be a 25-minute cardio fest and is more than likely going to decision.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, I like...
And, like, I can't give you, like, oh, you're a Leon Edwards-type performer, because more times than not, in tournaments, you finish your opponent.
That's... Okay. But, again, I'm not... Dodging punches, throwing kicks. It's a whole nother, you know what I mean? Tomatoes, tomatoes.
You're right, bro. But think about it like this. There's a lot of people dodging those punches and throwing those kicks, and there's a lot of people who finish at a high rate.
True.
It's just his style.
I'm wondering, now I'm trying to think who's coming to my head in 170 who's really finishing people like that.
That's a weak division right now.
Maybe Covington. Masvidal was one of the last ones. Covington. Usman never really finished anyone. That whole division... Like,
towards the end, Usman was finishing everybody.
No, like I'm like knockouts. I remember like his Masvidal. Last. Yes, Masvidal. Okay, but his second fight with Masvidal, he didn't knock him out, did he?
He didn't knock him out the first fight. He knocked him the fuck out the second fight.
Man, I'm just
that's kidding. The one where they have that picture and there's all that sweat around Masvidal's head, and you could tell he sleep before he hit the ground.
Really, I thought that was a man. My brain is fogged, man. You know what's funny? Not funny, but. Just think about the things that you forget, and then we've been doing this podcast for 37 weeks now, and I always, when people like Joe Rogan, for example, will be like, oh man, I'm sorry if I said this before, and I hear him say this, I was like, bro, you know you said this, I know you said this before, and I was like, hey bro, why don't you not say this? And then I started thinking about it, I was like, yo, sometimes you do just end up repeating yourself, it just happens.
Yeah. Well, the thing is bro, it's like, We love a sport that's super niche to everybody else. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily understand it. But the same topics will come up every time in every sport. You know what I mean? Like in football, every game, how do we address the run? The only difference is like they may down block or pull a guy and pull a guard. Like they're really just changing slight things in blocking. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Everything's kind of niche. So no matter what, you're going to repeat yourself, because what does history do? Just like everything else.
Yeah.
You know, like rolling with people, they're going to do the same basic set of moves. They may surprise you with something that you weren't expecting, but it's still something that more than likely you know.
This is like a great segue into moves and stuff. Dang, there was something else I want to say about 303. We might circle back to that, because I just want to talk about this super fight I want to put together with 303. So we'll come back to that at the end. But, Not super fight, whatever, doesn't matter.
You were talking about moves?
Yeah. So you're talking about moves. So you're talking about moves and doing the same things over and over again. Has there ever been a time where you have thrown a move away, or more particular, because you said details, thrown a detail away because it was more beneficial at the time to like learn the concept of something? And if so, how and where did it play out?
So have I thrown a move away? I'll say,
do you need time to think? Because I can tell you where this question comes from.
Where does the question come from?
So for me, the question comes from is because, so I told you, I mentioned the camp that we did. And so a little 19-year-old kid, we always talk about you can learn anything from anyone. It's not that this 19-year-old recently blue belt who was just a white belt taught me this. I'd already known it, but I threw it away when I learned it, if that makes sense. So it's a double underpass from half guard. Going double underpass, I don't flare my elbows out. I specifically remember saying, oh, yeah, log that detail that you need to flare your elbows out, but right now don't worry about that. Go ahead and worry about how to tripod up and how to, like, secure the double underhooks, and then worry about flaring the elbows out afterwards. Don't worry about that right now. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking about, man, I can't get my elbows flared out and everything. And I remembered, I was like, oh, yeah, I can't do this pass because I'm not even flaring my elbows out. Like, I'm not even, like, I'm just getting swept every time because I'm not flaring my elbows out.
I get you. I wouldn't say I throw away moves, but there's definitely moves that I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to. Yeah. Unless it's like a last ditch effort, or they're just giving it to me.
Yeah,
it's like the cartoons where the wolf smells the food and it's just hovering towards the pie in the windowsill. Okay. Unless they're delivering it like that, I'm not going for it. You know?
Yeah.
But threw away a detail. The way I see it is, in the midst of a roll, whether you realize or not, you set that shit up. Yeah. Like, you don't really skip a detail, because in a lot of cases, you can't finish the sweep, or you can't finish it without skipping a detail. You may have got there accidentally, like that Barada, that inverted Barada Plata I sent you on Instagram.
Yeah.
You see that? I didn't realize he set that shit up until he spun, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say people throw details away. I think they do them without realizing. And then at times I do. One thing I will say is, That cartwheeling, like, whenever I get on one side, I get the head and arm and then cartwheel to the other side to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's like skipping a step, or like it could even be considered adding a step depending on like which way you're trying to go.
Yeah.
But for me, it's legitimately a shortcut, because whenever I start passing to one side and I'm able to kind of like get that under their neck and I can cartwheel to the other side.
No, you're good. Just go hear the keys.
And I could cartwheel to the other side. To me, that's like skipping a step for setup.
Okay.
But that's really it. I wouldn't say I'm like skipping, because I'm still setting it up the same way. I'm just kind of going opposite and jumping over.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess I was trying to skip a step. I was purposely trying to skip a step, knowing that I was going to go back to it once I figured out the other steps, if that makes sense. So it's a roundabout way to do it. And sometimes for me, when I learn, it's easier for me to chunk it down and just go, all right, I know there's a chunk over here that I need to go back and explore, but I need to get this chunk before I can move on to that chunk. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I kind of like get the move down the best I can. And if it's something that I'm like not comfortable with, or I don't like how it feels for my body type, I'll remember it. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I'm going to, like, harp on.
Copy.
Like, it'll come back when it comes back. And the crazy thing is there's so many moves that the first time they showed it to me, I was like, that's trash. I don't want to do it. But now I love doing them. So that's why I don't.
Like, which one?
I wouldn't say I throw them out. Inverting is one. Whenever I first tried the Imanari roll, I was like, I'm never going to get that shit. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Shout out, Alex. I'll do it to the death of me. I had one recently, bro. The cross collar choke. I was never able to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I was never able to finish it, and just a slight little tweak in what I was doing with my hands. And I believe that was you and Jimmy that kind of fixed it.
Was it
right before I fucked myself up?
I don't remember.
Pretty sure this was like back in like April.
I do remember we had Albert on. He gave us some details and we talked about some stuff. That was the last time
I remember talking about cross collar chokes. Yeah, even after that, I still didn't really get it. It was George. It was fucking George. That's what it was.
Copy.
I'm pretty sure it was you and George, not you and Jimmy. But
I remember that now. We were talking about.
And this was like mid-April, right after I came back from that concert. So like that, I'd say that's one that I threw away and like brought back, but. Mm. I never threw it away. I'd still like try it. I just never finished it.
Okay. Just fair warning to anyone who I'm going to compete against. I am going to get a cross collar choke from standing. I'm gonna set it up, and I'm going to get you in guard. And I'm going to pull guard, and I'm going to choke the shit out of you. Whoever I compete against, one day it's going to happen. I said, look, my scissor
Your
choke.
Your king watches this now, bro.
Who?
Your king, bro.
Oh, hey, you know, I'm not trying to challenge my man Mark. Like, hey, you know what? Fuck that. Ain't nobody my damn king. Bro, you got me tripping. I'm the motherfucking king.
That's the answer I was waiting for, bro. Even last week, I was like, are you just going to let me call him the king?
Well, you know, it goes back to me and, like, my ego, right? I'm always trying to make sure that I give everyone their shine. It's not about me. It's not about me being number one, although I would love to be number one, right? It's just, I think that I'm going to get further with a solid team of people who want to be number one with me, as opposed to trying to fight to be number one by myself, if that makes sense.
You know, it's funny. I want to point something out to you. Because I just want to point out that you're... I caught your ass slipping, bro.
How?
A couple weeks ago, after your last tournament, you said that you were going to retire, and that you were about to give it a break, and that you probably weren't going to compete for about a year. Mm-hmm. You can fucking mark me right here. You said that shit. Mm-hmm. You just said, anyone I compete against in a tournament, you just said this right now, anyone that I compete against in a tournament, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to get the standing cross-collar choke, pull you in the guard, you're going to choke him out. Which contradicts everything you just said, my man, because you do want to be number one, and that's why you're not retiring, and that's why you're not going away, and that's why you're going to be at the next Jiu-Jitsu World League, and the one after that, because you're not done. You don't got a front. You don't got a lie to kick it. It's what it is. Coach, got your ass.
Coach Al just asked me today, are you doing Worlds in August? And I was like, no.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
Are. Okay.
I'm retired.
Sure.
I'm retired.
So are you doubling down on this contradiction?
Bro, I at this point, I'm a Conor McGregor this, man. I'm unretired, I'm retired, I'm unretired, I'm going to come back, go back.
Oh, the go of retiring and coming back is Brett Favre. Brett Favre, that's all he did the last 8 years of his career.
When we talk about retired fighters coming back, someone who's very close to retiring, who probably honestly should retire, and this fight they have set up for him coming up is a bullshit sham of a fight. And they call this motherfucker the greatest of all time. And he's just going to fight old man Stipe, John Jones. I want to see John Jones versus Alex Pereira. You the greatest of all time, John Jones? Fucking lose some weight, go back to lightweight, and do your damn thing.
I don't think he has to lose weight. I think Pereira can make heavyweight. He walks around at like 230.
I think
John Jones wants that fight too. John Jones isn't ducking that fight. The fight that John Jones doesn't want is Aspinall. Let's keep it a bean, bro. If any Aspinall fans out there, maybe I'm not.
You think Aspinall has a better shot at winning against John Jones than Alex Pereira?
It's not that he has a better shot at winning. John Jones wants to get paid. Aspinall's not a payday ticket. No one's paying to see Aspinall unless you're from the UK. But governor, we don't care about Aspinall around here. Bring us Pereira. That's the fight we want. And he wants Stipe and he wants Pereira for the money.
I just don't want to see Stipe. I know what's going to happen. We've seen it before. Like, it's just like, get like, I want to, if John Jones really is the legendary fighter that he is supposed to be, go out on your sword and take out the top competition that's there right now.
I'll keep it a bean with you, bro. I don't think, like, I like
Pereira. And maybe that's just because I'm a John Jones hater. Like, I'm a hater at the end of the day.
I like Pereira, bro. Don't get me wrong, but he's not beating John Jones. Like, okay. I'm saying he has a good chance of catching him and maybe knocking him out. But, like, we've never seen John Jones really rocked before. Even with Dominic Cruz, he was losing, but he wasn't rocked. The only person who's ever rocked him was Gustafson.
And I'm telling you, Alex Pereira hits him with that left check hook, he gonna get rocked.
But you think world-class athlete, jiu-jitsu practitioner, wrestler, and striker is only gonna fight one-dimensional against Pereira?
I agree, but I think I would like to see it. I would like to see it.
Here's what I'll say, bro. No disrespect to the man, but... Israel Adesanya has the most garbage jiu-jitsu I've ever seen in my life, bro. He's not good. He's not good on the ground.
Okay.
Let's keep it a bean. That's why he's never gone to the ground. That's why his takedown defense is so good. They gave him a purple belt because he's a UFC champion. Mm-hmm. But is he genuinely good on the ground or going to choke someone out? No. No, he's not. He's fucking not. And he dominated Pereira on the ground. You think if John Jones gets on top of Pereira, he's going to do anything? He's not getting up. And then John Jones will reset that round, and he will come back. John Jones is going to do what it takes to win. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he's going to go get coked out and have another suspension.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, bro. People who want Aspinall, people who want Pereira, it doesn't matter. It does not matter, bro. Pereira has the best chance, but it doesn't matter who's there. Everyone's either too old or not good enough.
And that's okay. So that's why I want to see John Jones' last two fights be Pereira and Aspinall, and just like right off in the sunset. I would like to see, like, maybe just because I came in so late, I just would like to see John Jones test it, and I feel like those are his two best chances of getting tested, and I think Alex Pereira is probably his best chance of getting tested as far as if he can survive getting knocked.
Yeah, here's what I'll say, bro. John Jones has definitely been tested. He's all the UFC greats from back in the day, he's chewed them up.
You're right.
And spit them out. Yeah, okay. But he's a piece, bro. And I don't mean that like, oh, he's a piece of shit, bro. He's the multiple suspensions, the beating his wife, the hit and run, the cocaine. Like, there's no, like, there's no, and then, like, there's nothing around it, bro.
Yeah.
DC was the good guy. DC was the good guy. But the good guy doesn't always win.
Okay. Speaking of good guys and pieces of shit, well, I'm not going to say this man is a piece of shit.
John Jones is a piece of shit.
No. First off, I don't know.
I was doubling down.
Okay. Look, I guess, like, if I ever met this John Jones in person, I say these things right now thinking, like, I'll never meet them in person. If I had met him in person, he'd probably whoop my ass and be like, yo, why you call me a piece of shit?
He can whoop my ass all he wants. It doesn't change what he did.
So we're going on actions, and we talked about honor our last episode, and this plays into it as well. Steph Daniels sending Craig Jones death threats, and just black belts in general is like, my question to you is it important for black belts to be role models? So my question to you is it important for black belts to be role models? And if so, should they hold themselves to a higher standard? And I'm asking this question as I'm thinking about it as myself, as I go on to my journey to becoming a black belt, think about how I handle myself without less than honorable in my last competition, think about even just the beefs and the drama that I've had with people within the community already. And that's not how I want it to be. That's not the environment I want to foster. So is the onus on me to change how I am and react and just say, hey, this is the standard as I become a black belt, and no matter what, stay rigidly like focused on that? Or like, what are your thoughts?
I'm immediately just shut down. No, you shouldn't change anything about how you feel. I don't know the dude. I seen the messages that Craig Jones posted, but at the end of the day, let's keep it a bean, bro. There's a lot of jiu-jitsu gyms that are out there that are about the money. They're about their money. They do not care about you as a student. There's some coaches like that, and you know, you got to be able to weed them out. And at the end of the day, Craig Jones setting this up is taking money from ADCC.
Yeah.
The reason that athletes aren't getting paid is because the people in the background are taking the money. This is one of those people. You're fucking with his money. There's two things that have always made men wall out in life. Whatever the currency is to those people, whether it's back in the day or today, and women. That's really it. And at the end of the day, they feel attacked because we said it earlier in this episode. The ADCC, I'm not going to say they're dead, but because they can still bring new people up, but they're bleeding.
Yeah.
They are bleeding, and they're trying to fight back, and he's in desperation. But what's going to happen in the long run is now everyone kind of knows you're a piece of shit, and people are only going to come to you because either, i.e., they know you're a piece of shit and they rock like that, or...
Well, I think people already kind of felt like he was a POS based upon when he choked out that girl and was like, oh, quit tapping. You're all right. And
wait, like, what?
I didn't see that
so
video.
I don't really know this dude.
So I don't really know him. And so Lizzie put me on game of who Steph Daniels is as far as like the whole everything. And then I've been watching a couple of videos online, yada, yada, yada. Very long story short, Steph Daniels is the dude out of Vegas. He has ties to ADCC as far as I believe financially helped fund it or get funding or whatever. But he's also done instructionals. So he had this girl, Brittany, on it in his instructionals. And he was demonstrating, I believe it was like a triangle, like a reverse triangle. And she was tapping. He was like, hey, quit tapping. He was like, you're not dead. And then like, he was like, oh, shit. She passes out. And so that's what happened in the video. And so to me, like, first off, why would you even put that out, right? Like, I wouldn't put that out as a person. I'd be like, yo, hey, I'm really sorry. That should never happen. I would never make this public. And I would try to, like, take the onus upon me and, like, show some remorse and be sorry, not make a joke out of it. So I don't know why it was put out. I don't know the context of that, but that's what happened.
It's like with anything, bro. There's no sports, especially martial arts, bro. There's no sports where there's no people that are corrupt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why you got to find those gyms. That's why, you know,
Yeah.
You know, I seen some things that I didn't like at some gyms that I was at before, and that's why I left. Yeah. Like, you, the best way you can combat those bad black belts, because no one has to be a role model if they don't want to. Let's keep it a bean. But I think everyone should be a good person. Okay. Everyone should be a good person. At the end of those days, the people that show that they're not a good person, the best way to combat is to take their money away.
Okay. You so know? Here's my other question, because you talked about being a safe space for people. Do you want to be a role model? And if so, what does that look like for you? Or maybe we ain't there yet. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't even say, because I've definitely been at gyms where I've inadvertently become a role model. I've definitely been at gyms where I've seen someone and I was like, hey, let me help you out. Yeah. But like, I'm never going to change who I am. I got a foul mouth. I talk a lot of shit. I joke around. But everyone who's around me and interacts with me knows that it's that's just who I am. That's just how I am. That's just the way I talk. And there's no issues with me in gyms, you know what I mean? But as for like a role model, like, do I want the people I train with and in the future the people that I train to say like, oh yeah, my professor's a good person? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But we can't sit here and lie like there aren't those average gyms who only care about money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you can do both. You can want money. And you want to actually spread jujitsu. And I think it comes with making an honest choice within yourself to not making the selfish choice of, like, putting money always first.
Well, the thing is, bro, is, like, those people may get money for a little bit.
Yeah.
But when your true color shows, you're going to lose your money.
Yeah.
The way to get your money, keep your money, and sustain your money in fighting, because there's only so, like, let's be real, we're not, like, we don't get into this for money unless you're a competitor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the way you keep your money is to be a good, genuine person.
So what about when it comes to, like, kids? Like, as far as you're talking about being foul-mouthed. And I'm asking this because I'm also going through this thought process for myself. I curse a lot. I'm kind of wild. I'm kind of like, ah, whatever. Mainly, I know a lot of where it comes from is growing up, I moved every fucking year. Like, literally, a brand new school every year. I had no real identity until my 30s. And so, like, I'm really socially freaking awkward in general. So sometimes I'm just like, ah, here's some energy because I don't know what to say. And I don't, I just feel weird, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So with kids, bro, I try and avoid the kids class for real.
Yeah.
At every gym, I've always, like, if it's right before the adult class, I'll sit in my car until I see them leave.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if there are kids around, I'll make sure to be conscious of what I say a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you carry yourself as a good person, you are a good person, things are naturally going to fall on you. You know.
But
what
I
know
I'm going forward to is, like, you opening your own school. Are you planning on teaching kids? Are you planning on changing some things around? And again, I'm asking because these are the questions I'm asking myself, and I'm trying to get other people's input. And
yeah, well, it's just like with anything, you know, like, I have my cousins and stuff like that. I don't really, like, I try and keep my BS out the way, like, with them, and it's going to be the same. There's going to be Coach Devontae from the kids class and then Coach Devontae from the adults class. Okay. You know, it's going to go from Alex to Rico. So, you know, both good coaches, you know.
Or like Jimmy to George. It's like, it's kind of the same thing, right?
The funny thing is. But yeah, man, like even like, so like, perfect example, Jimmy, bro. The kid, Jimmy runs a great kids class. The kids love Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy outside the kids class.
Yo.
A different fucking person.
Let me not say yo. I think he'd be okay when we say yo, because Coach Jimmy, you know I love you, and I think we're very kindred spirits in the same way of, like, we just talk shit, and if you take it personal, eat a bag of dicks.
So here's the thing,
and
bro,
don't let me speak for you on eat a bag of dicks. I'm speaking for myself. I'm saying eat a bag of dicks to other people.
Jimmy is the most unapologetically himself person that I've ever met in my life. Whenever I finally came back to Muay Thai to strike, he came up to me. He didn't ask how I was doing. Mm-hmm. He's like, I miss you. I miss making fun of your fat ass in here. Yeah, but it's all love, bro. It's all love. But at the same time, like, any pain I felt, Jimmy's like, let me hold the pads. Go take care of yourself. Like, he's, you know, so there's a way to carry your, like, keep your personality and be who you are while running a gym. I get what you're saying, though. I would definitely have to, like, turn it down with the kids class, and then whenever they leave, I'm like,
yeah, I'm not, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like for me, and, you know, especially going into a black belt. As I say that, as I'm going into a black belt now. But, motherfucker, that's how you manifest shit. I know what's going on. I'm going to make it to black belt. Black belt or bust, baby.
I already know when I come back from my surgery, I'm making a hard push for brown, bro. I can't let my brother get too far ahead of me, and I know his is coming.
Okay.
So I'm making a hard push for brown.
Well,
how long is it going to take? I don't know, but I'm making the fucking push. I'm being there.
We're going to wrap. We had our time, baby. Not really. I mean, we're close. What do you think it would push you over the edge? Like, what do you think will give you that next little oomph?
Honestly, man, they say every belt stage is like white belt. You got to work on just kind of surviving. So that's defense. Mm-hmm. Blue belt, I would say, is kind of defense continued. You know how to shrimp out. You know how to create your space. You know how to change it up a bit. Purple belt's when you start working on your offense, in my opinion, at least how my game's gone, you know. I feel like overall I'm an extremely hard person to fucking submit. Okay. But purple belt, I'm going to start working for my attacks from guard pretty fucking heavy whenever I get back. And then, I don't know, just see where it goes. I've learned pretty quickly in jiu-jitsu not to try and pre-plan where your game is going to go, because you don't fucking know, bro.
Okay.
You don't really know. You don't know what your body's going to like or what you're going to like as things come. And like we said earlier, you may have thrown some shit away and it's going to come back.
So. Or there's a hole you need to plug.
Huh?
Or there's a hole you need to plug.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
No diddy. Well... I don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and throw my holes out there knowing that Rico, oh, hey, pause. I'm not going to sit there and say there's holes in my game and say that I know what they are. I do know what they are, but I know Rico be watching, so I'm not going to fucking give him a chance.
He will come for the head, bro.
Yeah, look, dude. I know he is.
I got to watch a really good match with him and this black belt who's preparing for Worlds today. Yeah, it was some good, man. It was some nice jiu-jitsu today. I haven't really been rolling. I've just been kind of, you know, working on some other stuff. I went up to record today just because I need to do some stuff for a project I'm working on.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to say about, you said something, holes in your game that, I forgot.
Things going and coming back.
Yeah, so just things going and coming back. You were saying that like you're really hard to submit, and I don't want to say that I'm really hard to submit, but I would argue to say that that's kind of the same. Like when I'm actually trying, I don't want to say I'm really hard, but it's difficult, right? It's not like here take, like when I'm not giving it to you, it's not like here take it. You have to figure out how to outthink me, if that makes sense.
Well, the thing is, after a certain point, everyone who does jiu-jitsu and starts getting an understanding of it is hard to submit.
Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
After a certain point, people just get kind of hard to submit because they've seen it, they've felt it, they've dealt with it, they know how, they have multiple escapes. They like the more they learn. Only people who are really easy to submit are like white belts, and like I don't care how much they feel like you are like. Like, at each belt, things slow down. And as a purple belt, I look at white. Like, there's white belts that I'm like, okay, like, I can see where I can get them here, here, and here. Mm-hmm. You don't think brown and black belts look at all of us like food, bro?
Oh, I hear the way some of these upper belts talk about. I'm like, man, y'all kind of mean. Like, y'all just want to demolish people.
The thing is, there's no room for, like... Like, I get that we're supposed to be nice and be cool in the gym, but, like... To a certain extent, there's no room for it. Like, if we're being real, they can dominate most of the people in the gym.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have the mentality that you have, like, I'm going to let them work. But those upper belts, if they decide to turn it up, bro, like, blue belts and white belts are moving in slow motion to them. Purple belt is whenever they're like, oh, okay, they're a challenge. But they're still kind of like, you're a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, heavy on the you're a challenge. You know?
Unless you're... special. I'm more hyping myself up, so to say, and you know, people like T and Ross.
So here's the thing, bro. No disrespect to T and no disrespect to Ross, but real brown belts, real black belts, they do not look at them as like challenges, bro.
Yeah, okay.
All right. If we're being 100% real, like, I'll say who I'm thinking after, but
we're talking like elite. Like, we're talking like, let's just say real black belts, John Jock Machado. I imagine he doesn't look at them and he's like, whatever. Hicks and Gracie, George. Whatever. Okay.
I'm 100% serious, bro. I don't think, like, yeah, if George really put his mind to it, I don't think him and Ross would be a good match.
You know,
I think George would dominate Ross. And no disrespect, Ross, you're my brother, but George has put the time in, you know?
I think Steve is the same way too. Now I think about it. I think he also wouldn't see any, like, just the way he moved. It's so funny watching him. He's like, come on, do whatever you want. Give me all your pressure. And I'm just going to flip, invert, push you away. Doesn't matter what
that's
you do.
That's what I'm saying. Bro, honestly, dude, honestly, let's keep it a bean, bro. If Evan really wanted to, Ross and T are not doing nothing to him. Like, yeah, T has the physical abilities, but it takes more than that.
Yeah.
The bald dude from Subconscious who goes to open mats at Misfits.
Ooh.
Bro, he treats me like I move in slow motion. A lot of people don't do that, but I outsize him. I have knowledge of the game. Even, like, the shit he's setting up, like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and it just gets to that point whenever you get to brown and black belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Ross, no disrespect to T, and no disrespect to you, but there really are levels to this.
Oh, no, I don't take any disrespect to it. I know there's levels to it. And I just, like, I was more talking about, like, there's, and we've talked about it before, just black belts who get in their egos and just, like, they don't want any challenge. Like, if you have any sort of strength that's, like, the same level of theirs, or if you have some sort of technique, or if you have a defense to get out of something, they don't, like, they can't. They have to go in right away. It's like, no, you got all that, so I'm going to kill you everywhere else. Or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's very much their egos entwined with every little battle within the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a jiu-jitsu thing. I think that's a them thing. I think that's 100% a them thing, because we've both had bad black belts, and we both have good black belts. And the difference is those black belts that are bad are kind of shitty outside of the mats. And the black belts that we enjoy being around, that we like being around, are good people outside of the mats. Okay. It carries on both sides, you know?
So some black belts have their shit together, some black belts don't, and I guess it's on us to figure out who those black belts are?
Yeah, man, you have to vet. I've said it 1,000 times. You have to vet your school. Don't go to an average school. Don't go.
Yeah.
Like it's your money. Consume, like, you hold the power. Consumer has the power. Choose your gym, bro. Choose your gym right.
We're at our time, and we're talking about loyalty real quick. Since you talk about the gym, average gyms and all that, loyalty, where am I? We do whatever we want. But I am worried about cameras and batteries and the cards and stuff. But just loyalty. How do you think, like, so for example, right now I cross-train, and I see the look on some people's faces. Like, where do you train? I'm like, I cross-train at Misfits and Forge. And their looks like, wait, what? Your coaches allow that? And I had someone ask me, well, are you loyal to any of your gyms? And I'm like, yes, I'm loyal to my gyms. Like, I'm giving them my money every month, whether I'm there or not. I have a lot of shit going on right now. I'm not in there. I'm still getting my money. I'm not trying to get any freezes or anything. And I'm still trying to show up for the events that are important to the team, right? If there's a team barbecue, I'm there. If there's a team promotion, I'm there, right? If it's a team, like, I can't make it to everything. But I'm still putting in time. Now, as far as being there for my teammates, any one of my teammates can hit me up, ask me a question, I'm there for them. Am I going to any other gym? Am I trying to, like, go train at the gyms? No, I'm doing it for, like, open mats to get better. And I think that you can be loyal and still go to other gyms to open mats to train to get better if you really want to be better. And that is my goal, is to be the best that I can be. And I don't think I'm going to do that if I'm just in one gym.
So it depends, bro. Like, where are we putting, like, where does this loyalty fall? Because if it's like, in certain cases, they're like, oh, I don't want you to go nowhere else and like it more? If that's what it is, that's pretty much what it sounds like. But at the end of the day, like, I have loyalty to the gym I'm at, you know what I mean? Because who they are as people, you know what
yes.
I mean? Yes. Like, just because someone pulls up to your gym and they sign up and they pay for a month, what did you do to earn that loyalty to them? Like, where, like, why shouldn't they go somewhere else that they're more comfortable? Whether it be better schedule, whether it be easier parking. Like, I get loyalty in the sport when it's like whenever you found your gym. You've been there for months. You've been there for years. Mm-hmm. Like these are the people you were training with, or even, like, you've gotten to know. I get that. But, like, a lot of people, like, throwing that loyalty hella hard because they want to keep your money. Like, yeah. Again, I'm loyal to my teammates. I'm not going to go corner some dude I've never met before over my teammates and stuff like that. Like, to me, that's loyalty, bro. Like, you're loyal to your team in competitions. Like you said, you're there when the moments matter. You're there for promotions, like, when you can. Like, life happens. But that's loyalty. But, like, if people were, like throwing that, like certain gyms that are like, oh, loyalty, like, let's be real. It's because of the money, bro. It's because of the money.
Okay.
The consumer is key. But at the same time, just like respect, loyalty is something that's fucking earned, bro. It's earned 100%. And I'm not going to call gyms out by name, but every gym that I've left, I've left for a reason. I moved. I decided I don't like them no more. I don't like the atmosphere. You just kind of showed your colors to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give you my money for what? Well, I can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just like respect, loyalty can be earned and lost.
Well said, bro. Thanks for helping me get look at that from a different aspect a little bit. I think it's important for me to be a man of my word, and I think loyalty ties into that. So there's always going to be an ongoing battle of gauging what that looks like for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Thanks for coming out, bro. This is
anytime,
been a
bro.
Minute since you and me done it, man. It's just,
anytime, bro. And like you know what it is.
Why act like this? Like you ain't why am I saying this like you ain't the co-host? I'm just like, hey, thanks for coming out, bro. like we did this together, man. Oh, bro, it's been a long fucking week, bro.
It's been a long few weeks, bro. I'm actually tired as fuck.
Yeah,
I just feel like I've been running around, but you know,
yeah.
We gonna get it done.
And yeah, next week, bro, we got it over there. I've been posting little snippets of this artwork.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for that shit.
I can't wait to put that up. Like I said,
I want to talk to you about something with it.
Okay, offline.
Offline.
Well, let's wrap up. We droning on now. This has been a
fuck the greens. Sorry.
Fuck. All black everything. Yeah, yeah.
You know what it is. And, you know, thanks for tapping in with us. You know how it is every weekend. Like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next Monday and the Monday after that and the Monday after that.
Until
the Monday after that. And every Monday and every Sunday and every weekday, if you want to smoke, hit up Jay. We'll post his address in the thread.
No, the fuck you won't.
I'm just fucking with you.
Nah, I'm joking. Y'all stay blessed.